So let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. It is so incredibly penetrating, and it sees problems before there are any, because we are like sheep. And once we get headed in the wrong direction, we just keep going. And yet your love pursues us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You're with me at all times. And so as we quietly open your word, I pray that your voice will be heard, that you will speak to our hearts, that you will, in this passage that we look at today, it will remind us that we need to stay close to you, and we need to quietly follow the characteristics that display your beautiful love and your grace with each one of us. Help us to walk quietly, loving one another in deed and in truth. And so we look to you for your help in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then roll over into chapter 6 to verse 2. I always get nervous when I see people, no, I don't need to open my Bible. Yes, you do. You need to check me out to make sure that I am actually. And it's also very interesting because many of you have different translations, and you can look at the words and see whether what I'm saying is actually what it says in Scripture. So if we go back to here, I'm going to start from chapter 5, verse 1. How we're doing is almost invariably shown by the way we treat one another. And this is Paul talking to his son Timothy. He's not a know-it-all. Hebrews, right, tells us Scripture was never written by what the people who were prophesying thought. They were actually the words of God. And that is why they're so penetrating. And so like I say, see if we can make this work. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 to 6 to 2. So how we treat others, right? And so we have different age groups, right? We have older men, we have younger men, we have older women, and we have younger women. It's sort of a very conclusive. And then he goes in to give very precise instructions how to treat one another. So for the older men, it says, never speak harshly to an older man. Always appeal to him as a father. You know something? I don't know if you're like me. When I read this, it blew me away. You know what my first thought was, Pat? I never do this. And then I began to think, actually, Pat, I do. But I jump on the word harsh, right? But I think I want you to quietly think about and pray about. You think you're not harsh, but you're not the standard. First of all, God is. But also we're very unique, right? And so my sweetheart, what she thought was harsh, I would say, no, I'm just being honest. Come on, give me a break. I could even use, and I'd try to be very careful, I can use humor to put people down, tell a joke about them in front of other people. That's being harsh. And as you all know, by looking at me. As you get older, you get fragile and you can't take it like you did before. Let alone someone who walks in that door and they hear me tell a joke about someone sitting there. Their first thought is, how could you be so harsh telling a joke about other people? I mean, aren't you guys supposed to be close together? Do you know how cold a world it is out there? But I have a uniqueness. And although I have done that, told jokes about people, put them down in front of other people, I have something that's even more catastrophic in my point of view. And it took my sweetheart working with me to quietly work on this. Do you know what it is? I just close down. I have nothing to say. And first reaction might be, well, none of your business. If I shut down, none of your business. Why do I have to talk to you anyway? Do you know what the problem is? We are one body. And so if the hand says, well, I'm not going to talk to the head, the whole body gets into trouble. Because if the hand goes into the fire, the head is the one that said, hey, get out of there. Because you're harming. And the body so beautifully cares for the member that has been hurt. That is what we are. We are one body. Did you realize that? But because we're not perfect, it takes work. And so as I began to get into this passage, I suddenly began to realize this is going deeper than I feel comfortable with. And my first reaction is, no, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. And the Holy Spirit was quietly whispering, yes, you are, Rob. Yes, you are. But you're not doing it in the way that you think. But you don't realize someone else is taking the brunt of your harshness in quotation marks. What about younger men? And I like this. It says, talk as to your own brother. Now, I realize that I think, plus or minus, right, Dave, you have a good brother who cares for you. We're not perfect, right? We don't care perfectly. I came from a good family. All my girls, actually, were educated because of my in-laws, which at one point was $2,000 U.S. a month. And I just simply did not have the money to do that. But I knew that was something I had to do for my girls. I cannot allow them to face the world uneducated. English, they can always talk. But the problem is writing it and reading it to a high degree is crucial if you want to get to the end of university and graduate. Talk to it as your own brother. And so if you came from a family where there is chaos, I just want you to remember when you quietly look at God's way of doing family, there is a togetherness. You know what it is? I'm always there for you. I'm always there for you. Even if you go away when I don't think it's right, I'm still there for you. And I won't harp on it. But I will pray for you with all my heart that you will be able to experience the love of God and the warmth of family. And what about the older woman? It says, treat them as your own mother. Many of you didn't have a good mother. I did. And a mother-in-law, too, that was good. She truly cared. And for me as an in-law, I owed her a debt that I could never pay. And that's why I quietly packed up Marg and the girls and sent them all the way back to Canada and lived by myself for close to a year. In fact, I did that more than once. When my father-in-law had cancer, and right at the very end, Marg was the only one that was so close to her mother that she's the only one who understood her mother and could comfort her. I will pay that price. An older woman, my mother. And what about the younger woman? It says, treat them with purity as your own sisters. Okay? What I find interesting is there are different verbs, right? Appeal, right? Not, I am current. You gone around the bend. You don't know what life is really about anymore. No, appealing quietly. Do you actually know how to do that? And interesting that it says the younger brothers talk to them as your own brother. But then with the older woman and the younger woman, both of these verbs in the New Living Translation says treat them properly, right? The older woman with respect, the younger woman purity, pure purity. I don't know if you know or not. But I have a sister, I only have one. And we called her, you are the sunshine of our family. But I also have five daughters, much to the distress of Chinese, right, Chi? No, you have to have boys. And Alec, yeah, we treasure you, right? But I want you girls to know you're precious also. I don't feel any loss at having five daughters. Because there's a softness to that. And there is saying, as we relate to one another, remember purity. It would be shocking not to treat your sister. I actually know of someone. And actually, they actually came to this assembly once. And do you know what they were taught? Your sisters are there to learn sexually. About sex. And I just say, what kind of stupid stuff is this? And so, purity, okay. And then I want to let me just check here. Because I'm going to skip the... verse 3 and 4, you can read it through very quickly. And the gist of it is, if a family has widows, you take care of them. Don't dump them on Hong Kong. And actually, I'm also going to skip down below. This is also related in verse 8. But those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the faith, such people, and this is incredible, such people are worse than unbelievers. Why am I sensitive to this? Because in Hong Kong, there were some people who only came to church to get money to send to their folks in China. That's the only reason they came to church. Do you know what that did to the church? You know what it did, Joel? All the young people said, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Because they are not. That's stupid. That's crazy. And it wasn't fully someone's fault. It was just because they fell into habits that were not good. Right? That should have been rejected right from the first. Right? So if you do have within your own family those of needs, you take care of them and don't turn them don't say, well, the church can take care of them. And of course, in you don't understand, in Hong Kong, there was a reason for that. Because in Hong Kong, this family, the father and the mother, because they were Christians, they were not allowed to work and they were kicked down into the fields. So there was a real need. But the problem was the person in Hong Kong had a really good job. And he said, no, I'll get money from the church for my dad and mom. That is what corrupts. So we also need to be very careful, and you'll see it come up again later on. Money. Money is corruption. It will corrupt so easy it's not even funny. So I would like to, if you want to jump down in your Bible to verse 5. So 5 to 7. So what is a true widow then? What is a true widow? What is someone who definitely should be cared for by the church? Now, what I want you to do is I'm going to list out the characteristic it says in the Bible. Okay? And I want you to quietly be thinking to yourself, am I that kind of person? Do you know what the problem is? If you say, well, I'll wait till I get old, you'll see you won't be able to do any of this stuff. This kind of stuff is done while you're young. And then when this widow loses their husband and they have no income, but that whole character, beautiful character traits are already in place. And if you wait until you're old, you'll never get them. So just enjoy this little list, right? It's a woman who is truly alone in this world. She placed her hope in God. She prays night and day, and she's asking God for his help. And we quietly think to ourselves, but that's what I should be. What do you think, Stephanie, it means truly alone in this world? Because you're not truly alone, right? You got Mark. Truly alone in the sense of, of course, because she's a widow, her husband has now gone. And the thing that I miss most about Marg is when I'm sitting down there and we come to a prayer and she would always slip her hand in mine. So I just want to be close to you. And that's what hurts, because I've lost the closeness. And so it says, she placed her hope in God. She prays night and day, asking God for help. That's what our lifestyle should be. Is it your lifestyle right now? Because in a certain way, right, Mark and Steph, you're younger, right? In a certain way, you're unique, right? And even though I was very close to Mark, I knew I was unique. I was different. I was different because God skilled me in different things. God skilled her. And like I told you, I said to God, I'll never marry her because I'm not good enough for her. She is so outgoing and so caring. I'm stupid. I don't think I even count. And God said, no, she is my gift for you. But even so, we're unique. We're very unique. We're different. And learn to revel in that uniqueness, saying, what I don't have, she has. Or here, right? Saying, I have lost the other side, the balance to my character. And praying night and day and asking God for help. That life of quiet trust. Do you know when it's developed? It's not developed when you get 50, 60. I promise you, if you're waiting till 50, 60, you will never be praying night and day and asking God for help. Because you would have developed in the person, I can handle this, I can do it myself. And so these are characteristics that are already in place. Here's the opposite side when he talks about a young widow. Instead of a young widow, if she goes wrong, the problem is that she is living only for pleasure. See what happens? We quietly say, no, that's not me. That's not me. That's what you think. Hear what the problem is? I know what pleasure is for you, but I'm unaware that actually I am chasing pleasure. And if I told you what pleasure for me is, you would just sort of say, well, I don't get that. Of course you don't, because you're not me. So how do I live for pleasure? Well, number one is my nice SUV, right? I love driving it, and I love visiting in the States and so on. I can't go anywhere anymore. And I also have no thing. For me, pleasure might be, just leave me alone, will you? Stop pushing all kinds of responsibility on top of me. I just don't have the emotional energy anymore to carry on. Do you understand? We go in different directions. You look at the words, but we go after our own pleasure. We go after our own pleasure. And so just like, so now Erica's married, right? And Juanita's married way over in. Wouldn't that be nice if I had Sue? I had four daughters to take care of me. That would be wonderful. And they're all gone now. And Ellie's the only one that's living at home with me, right? Do you know what I had to face? Will you let go of Erica and allow her to do God's will? And I would say to God, yeah, but my pleasure. And so let's search our hearts. And so, but look at the catastrophic thing here. This blows me away. If you live for pleasure, you're spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead. You know how serious that is? In other words, you're not aware of God in your life. I got this. I can handle it. And so these characteristics, if you don't develop what's above, you'll be doing the second one. If you don't do the above, you'll be doing the second one, I can promise you. And then it says, and this is the sort of thing that we need to watch out, criticism by people outside. You don't really believe what is coming out of your mouth because I'm watching what you're doing. And so may we be challenged by this. Then, as I said, we'll skip over 8. It says, if you actually have relatives that are in need and so on, and you don't provide for them, you've denied the faith, and you're worse than an unbeliever. What an incredible thing! Because the world will know that you belong to Jesus by the way you treat other people. So here's a list of people that actually should be put on support, that we should support. We should support as an assembly when they have lost their income, their support, and they are needy. You don't just pour money in. Well, you're a widow, so we'll pour money into you. And also when I was doing this, I was quietly thinking to myself, you know something, it says widows, but actually, this kind of a standard, a widower like me should have those kind of things in place. And so here's the list, right? You need to be at least 60 years old. So I'm warning you, right, Joel, don't wait till 60, because you'll never get it. You'll never get it. If you start at 60, you'll get it in a very imperfect way. You'll notice that all of these things are things as they are young, right? So she's faithful to her husband, and so that faithfulness. Can people depend on you? How much more in the marriage relationship faithfulness? And Mark said to me once quietly, I am so glad that God saved me for you and he saved you for me. And we have not strayed from one another. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing in life. And it says, well, respected by everyone because of the good she has done. So you can't wait till you're 60. This is a way before that. Just imagine that. And a person looking and saying, so have you done good? Who have you done good to? Okay, this is a standard, right? Here's another one. Brought up children well, right, Stephanie? Mark, right? Rob Elner is not easy. It is not easy. Why isn't it easy? But I wish they were normal. What's normal? Like me. That's what you think. And like I tell the people, you know something? I never guessed where any one of my girls would end up in. They all ended up in a completely different position. And so that list, right? Hope in God, praying night and day. That's what it is, Stephanie, right? Sometimes when you're by yourself at home, truly praying night and day. Because I can handle them. And somebody said, well, that's easy. When they're small, it's easy to handle them. That's what you think. If you don't handle them properly then, when they get 15 or 16, they're gone. They're out of there. Nor am I in any way saying you have to have perfect children. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying they're unique. They think differently. Why did you never ask your son or your daughter, so what were you thinking when you did that? And they'll tell you, very easy, but he hit me. But what a wonderful thing, because now you have identified, that's why it's so physical. Marg, in a beautiful thing when she was able to teach in that, Pat, what was that school up here on Speedsville there? She taught in there, and there was a little girl who was deaf and dumb. And she would hit everybody. And you know what she was doing? She was trying to get the attention of other people. And you know what Mark did? She learned to talk the deaf mute language and taught the little girl to speak this deaf mute language. And at the same time, of course, said, no, you can't hit someone, okay? Use a different method. Do you know what happened? Incredible. Something incredible happened. The other little kids saw Marg talking to the girl with her hands. And they said, boy, is that ever neat. I'm going to do that too. And so that little girl was no longer isolated. Because she was deaf and mute. And the big problem was she had a sister in that school that excelled, that was not deaf and dumb. And she was sort of, you know, the stupid old girl. And they always hitting people and so on. And so this thing, brought up children well, that is a very difficult thing. And that's sort of she's been kind to strangers, right? And served other believers humbly What an incredibly beautiful list. If someone could say these about you, this is who you are. And it says she's helped those in trouble. It's like Rob was sharing, right, Rob, about the seeing these kind of weird people on the street. But you know what you forgot, Rob? You're weird too, right? I'm weird too, even more so, right? But you know something, weird is the wrong word. Rob, what is the right word? Unique. God didn't make that person like you. God didn't put you maybe into a position where that person is suffering. And my heart is so sad for Dawn. Because he said, but I can't talk to Mary. I don't know if she actually is understanding. I never had to do that, right? And he's hopefully reversing that, right? Because Mark always understood. I was always able to communicate and pray with her. So have you helped? And have you always been ready to do good? Do you know what the problem with this one is? Yeah, but it's costly. Yeah, it is. Whoever told you that to do always ready to do good? Whoever told you that was easy? It's not easy. And then he said we would skip over verse 11. I'm not sure whether I stuck this on the slide or not, very quickly. So the younger widows, right? And this is the temptation, okay? Physical desires, right? I still want to enjoy life. Horrifying, it will overcome the devotion to Christ. So how devoted are you to Christ? We look at one another and we judge one another. But we need to look at our own life and say, am I totally sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ? And you say, yeah, I'm totally sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how it goes. No. It's not you who says. It's the Lord himself quietly overcoming your heart and saying, you know something? It's like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And someone said, you try filling that out. For me to live is what? Family? Like I was saying? People pleasing? I want everybody to like me? Or is I only have one motive? I just want to feel that closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't fake this. And it says they will want to remarry because they want a closeness of relationship. But the closeness of relationship, that's why I could never understand, although I did. People said, if you can only get married, then your problems are solved. And I don't understand why you don't laugh. Because, no, when you get married, that's when problems start. and for me, ridiculously, when I went to Hong Kong, right, and I was there for 43 to 72, so that's about 9-10 years. You know what I was thinking, Pat? I was thinking, there's nobody left worthwhile marrying anymore, because now I'm so old. I mean, obviously, anybody who's worthwhile has been long ago snatched up. Try pulling that one on Ryan. And then if he doesn't give you a good answer, you say to him, Ryan, why did you just get married? Right, Ryan? I bet you any money you were thinking what I was. But there's nobody left anymore. But God has a perfect will for each one of us. And so if we're not careful, we go the world. And this is what happens to those kind of people. So then you become lazy. If you're not devoted to Christ, you will definitely become lazy. And you'll spend your life time gossiping from house to house. You know how deadly gossip is? And this is one of my downsides. I have to be very careful. Stop gossiping. Don't talk about other people. At least not in that. And then what happens? You meddle in other people's business and you talk about things that you shouldn't be talking. What a deadly list. So then the church is able, if there are people that can take care of these people, or if they marry again and they have children, the church can care for the widows who are truly alone. Who are truly alone. And then I'd like to very quickly see, yeah, this one on elders I want to do. Very interesting. As we go through, think the same thing. Do you know how high the standard is? It's very high. It's very high. And like I was saying to Joel, right? Don't wait till you get 60. It's too late. And I'm not pinpointing you, Joel, right? It's even more important. And so Mark and the other guys get the privilege, right, Joel, of helping you guys, Micah, helping you to develop your parents, right? Helping you to develop that character while you're young. And so it says, for elders, it says, if you do your work well, you should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. I bet you some of you are sitting there, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to preach. I want to teach. But the problem is, you know what the problem is? Good preaching and good teaching come from good living. And there are skills, that is true, there are skills to teach well and to preach well, right? But there are skills. But my problem is when I see people using the gospel as a hammer, so hammer them and tell them, you're going over the precipice and you are going to hell. And do you know what happens? From what I can see, you can correct me later. If you take that approach, people say, I'm not interested in talking to you. That's your religion. Do you know what attracts them? When you quietly share, do you know my precious Lord Jesus? What he did for me? Like I told you in the park, the one thing that bowls everybody away when I tell them I lost my daughter, 24-year-old, just graduated, chemical engineer, and almost invariably they say, there's no way I could handle that. And you know what they want to know? How could you handle such hurt in your life? And I can see from your attitude that you care about me and you're positive. And by the way, you have a dog, which I used to have, and I can't bear to have another dog and lose them. But can I pat your dog? Because I love dogs. And old Jackson's there with his tag wailing like a windmill and so on. And they're just so delighted. What is it? What do you have that I don't? And there is a place where you might have to tell someone, do you know something? And I will tell, but I tell them in a language they can understand, because we're not perfect. Jesus died to pay the debt. But if we don't accept what Jesus did for us, we have to take responsibility for our own imperfection, which the Bible calls sin. And so here, if they do well, and they work hard. Isn't that amazing, Peter? Work hard. And people are sitting there and say, you don't work hard. You don't understand. To preach and to teach is hard work. Do you know why? Because the words that come out of your mouth must be the words of God. And 1 Peter says that. So if you preach or you teach, then the words that come out of your mouth need to be the words of God. And I stand here and I cringe. Am I actually speaking the words of God to you folks? And there's only one way I can do it, in humility. I don't know. But how do you recognize it? You recognize it by quietly saying, you know something, those words are very relevant to my life. They must be the words of God because they're so insightful. And so if they do well, right, then they should be respected and they should be paid well. Do not accept an accusation. So this is the other side of it. Okay, so don't accept an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. Just because an elder does something that you don't agree with, you don't pull out your shotgun and shoot him. But if you quietly say to yourself, you know, there's something wrong here. There's something truly wrong here. And if there are two or three people who can say, yeah, that's wrong. Shouldn't be doing that. You're doing harm. Then it says, look at what it says here. It says, those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. And this will serve as a strong warning to others. That's pretty serious stuff. That's not just call them aside and deal with them. No, in front of the whole church. Because we are all being affected. And you might say to yourself, okay, well, I know that you and Rob B. and Peter are elders. So who's going to reprimand them in front of the whole assembly? I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, you are the ones that are going to have to do it. And maybe if there is another elder who is not involved in it and so on, they might be involved. But this will not happen unless you, as a group, as the church, are in a good, healthy position. Otherwise, you won't recognize it, and you'll be trying to people please, and you'll be trying to do your own thing instead of quietly saying, you know something, I'm heartbroken because my Jesus is being dishonored by the behavior of somebody who should know better. And then just to finish off here, it says, these are things you should be very careful, right? To obey his instructions, because these are instructions of God without taking sides. This is catastrophic. This kills everything. Do not take sides. Do not take sides, even though you have to be in agreement with one another. But don't start taking sides, because all you do is get into a big fight. It says without taking sides, favoritism, that is also deadly. Favoritism is deadly, and taking sides is deadly. So then it says, the warning, right? Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. Do not share in the sins of others. And then it says, keep yourself pure. In other words, don't join cliques. But fellowship is closeness, right? But don't join cliques where the church begins to divide. So keep yourself pure. How do you do that? No favoritism, no taking sides, right? And being careful of who actually is appointed as a leader. I'm going to skip over verse 23 with just a warning. Don't drink only wine. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach, because you are sick so often. And so a very close friend of mine would keep repeating this verse to me. And Marg, because she lived in England, the folks that she was with, then they would do social drinking, not at a pub or anything, but at home and so on. My extremist view is I never want to be in a position where someone else can look at me and say, you're an elder, you're an older person, and I see you drink, so I can drink too. Because I have seen the catastrophic damage to lives. Every Friday night, right? Being with those folks, I would say there's at least maybe a quarter that have struggled in that, and it's taken over on them, destroyed marriages and just destroyed families and so on. And so, but my friend always forgot to quote the last phrase of that verse. Do you know what it is? Because you're sick so often. He just said, well, the Bible tells us I can drink wine. Paul even told me that drink wine. But he would never quote this, for the sake of your stomach, because you are sick so often. And quietly watching him, he didn't become a drunkard, but he came close to it. He came close to it. And so be very, very careful. And then this one right here says something to be very careful about. The sins of some people are obvious, but don't forget there are others that will not be revealed till later. So walk close to the Lord, because some sins you can't cover up. Actually, you can't cover any of them up, to be really truthful. If you're close enough to the Holy Spirit, he'll alert you. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong. And for CR, there was something I could never understand. And I could never understand why at CR are there people that have a problem, and they would say, I have a problem with anger. I just get so angry that I lose control of my words and my actions, and my marriage is destroyed. And I could never understand. Just don't be angry, period. But if we're not walking closely to the Lord, praying day and night and staying close to Him, then there are things. But always remember, some things are obvious, but others you don't learn to believe till later. And here's what it says: in the same way, the good deeds of some people are obvious, but good deeds done in secret will someday come to light. And Jesus was very upset with people who did their good deeds in front of everybody else. And he said, okay, they got the reward. Done deal. And we wait till the throne of God to see what the thing. And then my last section, of course, is about slaves. And this is very beautiful, because you realize about slaves, they should show full respect for their masters, right? So that they will not bring shame on the name of God and His teaching. Here are people who have no freedom. There are people who have no freedom. But they have the chance to glorify the name of God and His teaching. So how about at work? Is that what you do? Are people quietly drawn, strangely drawn to Jesus? Not because of what you say, but because of who you are. But these people are slaves. They don't have any choice. And Paul is quietly saying, you have the privilege of not bringing shame, but bringing glory to God. And so it says, if your masters are a believer, then there's no excuse for being disrespectful. This is what happens. Because our world think we have rights. And don't you dare step on my rights. But it's when you are mistreated, misunderstood, and yet there's still that quiet kindness. That is what draws the heart of unbelievers. And so he said, even if your masters are, this is no excuse for being disrespectful. It says slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well loved. Very beautiful passage, but a very challenging passage. So what is your standard? As Rob reminds us all the time, rightly so, these are the words of God. Not religion, the words of God. Not a famous teacher, but the words of God. Setting forth a standard. And why it's so penetrating is because this is God who is speaking. And he knows the heart. He knows the heart. And he knows the danger of when we're not careful. Let's just end in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your kindness. And we thank you that no matter where we are, we can live life at a high standard. Lord Jesus, what I'm most afraid of is that I will arrive at the end of life still living a lowly, worldly standard and not have quietly enjoyed drawing near to you. And because you loved us and gave your everything for us, it is our privilege now to honor you and to glorify you by our humility and by our quiet chasing after that high standard, not listening to the world and its lowly, selfish, self-centered standard of living. And so we thank you for your word, and we thank you in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.